Well, a God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. It's 5 days before Christmas, before the day that the world celebrates Christmas. Jesus Christ was born in the fall. He was born on the Feast of Trumpets. That's not what we're going to discuss today. If you'd like to know more about it, go to thegodschool.com and find the Feast Days of the Lord, or a message on God's a date setter. That's not our discussion today. What I want to discuss today, what it is that we learn from God's word about the reason Jesus Christ was born. And it comes from a little book in the Old Testament called the Book of Ruth. Now, Ruth was the daughter-in-law of a Jewish woman named Naomi. The story goes that Naomi and her husband, in a time of famine, moved into the country of Moab. Naomi had two sons. They married Moabite women. One was named Orpah, one was named Ruth. And Naomi, now being destitute, decided that she should come back to her homeland, back to Jerusalem, and she bid her daughters-in-law farewell. And the story says, Naomi tells her daughters to go back home. She was going to Jerusalem. And in the 14th verse of the first chapter, it says, "And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth claved unto her. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither you go, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." And where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And when she saw, that is Naomi, that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So the two went until they came to Bethlehem. It came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said unto them, "Call me not Naomi, that is pleasant, but call me Mara, that is bitter. Seeing the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. That is late April for a date. And the story goes on that there was one near of kin to Naomi, excuse me, whose name was Boaz. And Naomi gave her instructions to go and glean in the fields. And I'm trying to skip through so we don't read the whole book, because it's everyone should read the whole book. But I'm trying to get to the meat of the matter, that is the real reason for Jesus' birth. And Boaz was kind to her, she was kind to him. Then it says in the 10th verse of the second chapter, then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, that is Boaz, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it has been fully showed me all that thou hast done to thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore until now. And he said, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. In the 20th verse of the second chapter, it says, and Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, that is Ruth, blessed be he of the Lord, who has not left off his kindness to the living and the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And there's a note in the margin. And we begin to now see the story. One who has right to redeem. And we go on to the story. So let's read this. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now, is not Boaz our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place. where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she, that is Ruth, said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me I will do. And she went down to the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, who art thou? And she answered, I'm Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread, therefore, thy skirt over thy handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. Again, the note in the margin says, one that has right to redeem. And he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed kindness in the latter end, that at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night. It shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then I will do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down until the morning. A relationship is being created here. I'm going to read on a little bit more because there's a little historical fact I would have you know. And she laid at his feet until morning, and she rose up before one could know another. And he said, let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. Also he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee, and hold it. And she held it. And he measured 6 measures of barley, and laid it on her, and she went into the city. That's the 15th verse of the 3rd chapter of the book of Ruth. The first time the King James Bible was ever printed, the last words of that 15th verse said, and he went into the city. That's why the very first edition, first printing of the King James Bible is called the He Bible, or the Great He Bible. Subsequent editions or subsequent printings of that first edition are called the She Bible. Just a little note. And the 4th chapter opens and says, then Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the kinsman whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, ho! Such one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit ye down here. And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that has come again out of the country of Moab, selleth her parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise or disclose unto thee, saying, buy it therefore, buy it before the inhabitants, and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know, for there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, Boaz, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, excuse me, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon the inheritance, upon his inheritance. Now, what we're talking about here, folks, in revelation of God's plan is speaking to one who has lost his inheritance. Which statement can be made of all of us for being descendants of Adam and Eve, whom God formed in the Garden of Eden, who came to trust not the word of God, but trust the word of the devil, and thereby lost their inheritance. God is talking about a way that the inheritance can be restored. And the kinsman, this is not Boaz, but the other kinsman, and the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Going back to that 13th verse of the third chapter, it says, and now it is true that I am a near kinsman, howbeit, or the 12th verse, howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I. Who is that kinsman? What is that kinsman? Stay with me while I get to the book of Romans. And I'll just read a little bit of the 7th chapter. Paul says, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law has dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which has an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him that is raised from the dead, that ye should bring forth fruit unto God. The law of restoring a lost inheritance. The nearer kinsman says, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. The law could not bend down to redeem without breaking its own law. The law was tough. The law was given to understand. Through the New Testament, through the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that man's inheritance with God could be restored. And only by one near of kin. First requirement for the restoration of a lost inheritance. The second requirement, one had to have the price of redemption. The third requirement was that one had to be willing to pay the price of redemption. And in this sixth verse of the fourth chapter, the one near kinsman, the law, who we were married to as long as the law lived, wasn't willing to pay the price, but Jesus Christ, from before the foundation of the world, expressed his willingness to redeem those who had through sin lost their inheritance. But he had to be near of kin. And he had to have the price of redemption. And the price of redemption was a perfect life. One perfect enough. One perfect in God's eyes, who was worth more than the whole world put together, he had the price of redemption, that is Jesus Christ. And he had to pay it. And if we read So the comment on the book of Ruth, 4th chapter, 6th verse, the law does not change. If it did, it would mar his own inheritance. Now, this was the manner in former time of Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing, for to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was the testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he withdrew his shoe. This man in scriptural study is called the barefoot kinsman. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have brought all that Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and all that were Mahlon's, those are the sons of Elimelech's and Naomi, and of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among the brethren and from the gate of his place. And ye are witnesses this day. And it goes on to say, so Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which has not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. That is, a people who belong to the Lord, that God's name may be famous. And if you go on and read in the end, it gives a short genealogy, like in the book of Matthew and like in the book of Luke. And it says, and Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. And in the line of Christ is this Gentile woman. In the lineage of Christ is this Gentile woman that God brings into his family. The good news of the gospel is for all, Jew and Gentile, Greek and heathen, all sinners who have lost an inheritance have had the price of redemption paid by one near of kin who had the price of redemption, who was willing to pay the price of redemption, and who paid it. One, Jesus Christ, who paid the price on Calvary. And we here are witnesses of that testimony. And Christmas tells us that Jesus loved us enough to step from heaven's throne and be kinned with you and me, and grow up learning what life here, with all its problems, is like that now. At the right hand of the Father, we have one touched with all our infirmities, sensitive to all our problems, tempted in all ways as we are tempted, who still. Boaz knew Ruth's story, who still took our sins and bore them away as the scapegoat, that he might redeem us. That's the reason for the season, which we mistakenly call Christmas. But nonetheless, Christ was kinned with us that he could redeem us. That story of that babe who became part of the family of men did redeem, and man is restored, and God's life is placed in us men now, and we are in training for eternity. The we I'm talking about is those men and women who have put their trust in the Lord. For the price has been paid for our redemption and to restore our inheritance in God. And that's the real reason for that which has come to be called Christmas. And that's the God School for today.